I'm going to be reading to you today from the books of Deuteronomy and from Matthew. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, and I will invite you during the sermon today to have a Bible of your own opened up to read along, and you will be reading from this Deuteronomy text. So if you want to keep that open and ready, then we'll refer to it together later, as I'm going to read another scripture and have you look at the differences in them. So today I am reading from Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Keep the Sabbath day and treat it as holy, exactly as the Lord your God commanded. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Don't do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your oxen or donkeys, or any of your animals, or the immigrant who is living among you, so that your male and female servants can rest just like you. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. And then from Matthew, verses, it helps if you know a chapter, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. We in America are a group of people who really enjoy celebrating. Have you noticed that we like to celebrate things? How many of you know that yesterday was National Dog Day? Did you know that? Anybody post pictures of their dog? It was National Dog Day. People all over the place were sharing pictures of their canine, friends and family, in honor of the day. I didn't get mine taken a picture of, but I did look at it and think about it. We have a lot of National Day celebrations that we observe. In fact, there are over 2,000 celebrations in our country. Did you know that? That there's all these different, have you noticed that there's a day for chocolate, and there's a day for ice cream, and all of these different things? Have you noticed that? And people keep coming up with more and more things to put on the calendar to be celebratory about and be happy about. Anybody know what today is? Do you know what celebrations we are observing? All right, I'll tell you. Today is National Peach Day. So if you have a peach tree out in your yard that has got those nice peaches on there, go pick a peach, and this is for National Peach Day. Today is National Cinema Day, so you can go to the movies and appreciate that it's Cinema Day. This one's a fun one. Today is Rock, Paper, Scissor Day. Did you know? I enjoyed that one very much. And so, in honor of Rock, Paper, Scissor Day, does anybody not know how to play Rock, Paper, Scissor? Is there anybody who's not clear on the rules? We are all clear on the rules of rock, paper, scissor. You got the rock, the paper, and the scissor. Yeah. And the way you do it is you say one, two, three, and then you put out whichever one you are. So in your pews, and if you are sitting by yourself, you're playing with me, okay? Jackson, I guess you're playing with me too. Get your rock ready. The people that you are sitting with are the people that you are playing against right now. Are you ready? Rock, paper, scissor, shoot. Oh, I'm paper, you're paper. You're paper, what are you, Jackson? Oh, Jackson got us, he's scissors. Who won in your row? Oh, a lot of you people back there with scissors, Sue with scissors, and Karen with scissors. Was anybody that was sitting by themselves a rock? Nobody that was sitting by themselves was a rock. So in your pews, who won in your pew? Kylie won in her pew, who won in your pew? You tied, you shot the same thing just like we did. And Randy won. All right, it is Rock, Paper, Scissor Day. I encourage you to continue celebrating Rock, Paper, Scissor Day for the rest of the day. And the other thing that today, oh, there's a couple of other things today, is it is Pâte de Crème Day, which sounds like a French food, so I'm not sure why it's an American celebration, but pot means bowl of custard. Okay. That's really reaching, isn't it? And it's Just Because Day. I don't know what you do on Just Because Day. And I didn't read the whole list for tomorrow, but the very first one listed was Read Comics in Public Day. So if you have an opportunity to read a comic in public, I guess you could post one and then everybody else would read it. Anyway, we like to celebrate, don't we? We like to do things to be happy and lift up each day as special because it gives us an appreciation. I kind of enjoy it. I think it's fun. Some of them are kind of silly, like Pots de Creme is kind of silly. But we come up with reasons to smile, and that's a good thing. So what I don't understand is if we like to celebrate so much and we enjoy having 2,000 plus things to celebrate, why is it so hard to set aside the Sabbath each week? That's a good question, isn't it? Some of us do set aside the Sabbath. Some of us try to set aside the Sabbath. And maybe the challenge is knowing what it looks like to celebrate it. So we're going to talk about ways that we can celebrate the Sabbath. Let's consider it. And this is where you're going to end up using your Bibles here in a minute. In our text from Deuteronomy, we find that this is a command to keep the seventh day special. Now, we human people, don't like the word command. If I say to someone, I command you, what do you think they will do? Excuse me? We don't like that word command. It makes us feel obstinate. It makes our feathers get a little ruffled. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't mind being instructed, but it bothers us if somebody commands us. We're also not fond of the word law for the same reasons. So I'm going to give you a little bit of happy news here. In the original Hebrew context, the word that is used for law would more accurately be translated into our current language as words. So when we say that this is a law, the word law is more correctly translated to instruction or teaching, which gives us a little more freedom. We have instruction. Teaching. I instruct or teach you to do this. Oh, I would love to learn that. I command you. Not so much. We like to have the freedom to put to use the things that we have learned. When I cook, I have a recipe. Are a lot of you fond of recipes? Is a recipe a command or is a recipe instructions? We like to have instructions, right? When I don't know how to make something, which is a lot of things, I go online and I look up a whole bunch of recipes. And I find one that would be really good. However, when I'm cooking, when I'm actually following those instructions, I have to consider my context, my use of it. For instance, in our house, we have people who have intolerance to black pepper, to onions, to milk. When Brennan's home, he's a diabetic. When we take a dish to a dinner, we have celiacs who can't have wheat. And we have a niece who can't have red dye. And we have an endless list of things that we have to make adjustments for in our recipe. And a recipe is a group of instructions. These instructions are put together by someone who knows in order that we can have the very best outcome possible, right? And so if I wanted to make this five-star dish that could be served and people would love it the most, I would follow the recipe. But I have to consider, who am I feeding and what do I have here to feed them with? And sometimes I have to change to fit what I can do. We have some freedom to do that in instructions. In the book that we call Exodus, there is a list of commandments. And here's the one I got tangled up with my other one. Laws and commandments. The word commandment, if you translate it a little more accurately from Hebrew, is actually the word words. We have 10 words given by God, not 10 laws, 10 words that were given to us for instruction and teaching. And they're contained in that whole 5 books of laws, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So these were given to us as instructions and teachings so that we can have the best possible outcome for life. The 10 commandments, the 10 words, give us the best recipe for a happy life. And I'm not saying that the commandments were meant to be broken, okay? Because they're not. We're supposed to live by them because we want to have the best life. But we have a little bit of context here in these two scriptures that will help us to understand better what God is doing when we compare our two scriptures here to know that there's flexibility in instruction. It's not so rigid. So I am going to read Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And I'm going to pause partway through, and you all are going to look up the Deuteronomy scripture that we had earlier read. So Deuteronomy 5, and I'm going to read from Exodus 20. I'll start at verse 8, and the first half of it, kind of read along with me. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. Now, so far, that sounds pretty similar, even though we have different translations, right? That sounds pretty similar in context, yes? We're saying, on the seventh day, we're going to rest, right? Now, if we look up these the next part, you will start at Deuteronomy 5:15. I will start in Exodus 20, verse 11, and we'll compare these. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day, that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Tell me, somebody who read Deuteronomy, what's different? Who read Deuteronomy? Okay, remember, you were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought you out of there. That is why the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. A little bit of difference there, right? There's a little difference in how these were said. In the Deuteronomy text, it says that is why the Lord commands you. And in Exodus, it says that is why the Lord blessed. There's a little difference there, too. The word command is that he instructed his people of Israel, the people that was created, to keep the day holy. While they were in captivity in Egypt, did the people have a choice? Were they allowed to keep the Sabbath day? Were they allowed to celebrate it and set it aside? Were they allowed to follow God's rules and honor his teaching? They weren't. They didn't have a choice. They had to adjust for what they had and in their context, correct? But even though, if we use those words law, they were breaking the law, right? But did God do away with God's people because they didn't do what that command said from Exodus? Did God say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore because you haven't been observing the Sabbath? God understood that the people did what they could. God understood, and so he gave this second command, the second wording, allowing for grace and pardon and encouraging the people of Israel to celebrate. Celebrate freedom. I told you that freedom is a great thing, right? And God is telling them to celebrate freedom. In Exodus, we learn, the first scripture, we learn that the gift of Sabbath is a creation of God. Who ever thought of the Sabbath as a creation? We think of trees as creation. We think of the sky as creation, right? We think of the people around us as creation. Who ever thought of the Sabbath as creation? In 6 days, God created all the things that God's hands would create, yes? And God separated things that needed separated, and he gathered things that needed gathered. And he created people, and he did all of these things. And on the seventh day, he created rest. The seventh day, he paused to look at all of this and say, you know what? That's pretty darn beautiful. That is special. That is amazing. And so God created time to pause and enjoy all the other stuff God created. And it never occurred to me till this week to think of Sabbath as a creation. Set it aside and appreciate it. Lift your voices and praise and learn more about God, the creator of the Sabbath. Outside forces don't always allow people to live into the teaching of God. So in Deuteronomy, God said, this is a new invitation. You had an invitation before. I'm telling you about my creation. But now that you have the freedom to relax, I'm asking you to do it. And on that day, call out to my name in teaching and in prayer. Because the days when you can't set aside time for me are over. Celebrate that you are not oppressed anymore. You are free to come to me each week. Now, if any one of us who's working or has worked can imagine our boss saying, "I demand that you take a day to enjoy yourself," who would have said, "I enjoy that part of the job description"? Yes. And yet it's so hard to remember to do this, even though God has told us from Exodus and again in Deuteronomy to do so. In Matthew, Jesus reminds us also to come, those who are struggling against the heavy loads, as Jesus will give us rest. Put on his yoke, because he's already done the hard part, so now the yoke is light. The burden is light. In Jesus' time, he fought against the religious leaders who didn't allow so much that day would be such just focused on rejuvenation. In fact, the leaders, the religious leaders of Jesus' time, made the day off hard, didn't they? Think about it. You ever had a hobby or an activity you love to do, and then all of a sudden you decided to do it for a living? You know? Say you enjoy making jewelry. That's me, so. Say you enjoy making jewelry, and it's pretty, and you pray over each bead as you put it on the strand, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to go into business making jewelry. And then making jewelry is not the hobby anymore, it's the business, right? The religious leaders of Jesus' time sort of did that to the Sabbath. They made it into something so difficult for people to keep that it became a work in itself. I'm not supposed to walk more than this many steps a day, but now I've got to count my steps. That's work. I'm not supposed to work on this day, so I got to cook twice as much yesterday so that I can do this. I'm not supposed to trim my lamps, so I got to do that yesterday. And then get caught breaking the rules and get in major trouble. Does that sound like a day of rest? Or does it sound like a lot of stress? It'd be stressful to have a day off in Jesus' time, wouldn't it? Jesus was always getting in trouble for it himself. Jesus would do good things on the wrong day of the week. Can you imagine anybody coming up and telling you, "That was a really nice thing you did. You weren't supposed to do that today. You're in trouble." Jesus fought against that throughout his entire ministry, breaking the rules of the Sabbath. And he said, "So draw near to me, lean on me, because my teaching is the right teaching. My teaching is about taking the day to appreciate God." For virtually every person in the world, I'm certain every person in this room, there are things in our life that we've had to break free of. Some of us can have more testimony and bigger things that we've broken free of, but I'm guessing every single one of us is free of something that used to confine us, yeah? Has anybody ever been held down by an illness and overcome it? Or an emotional strain and overcome it? Some of us may have been in jobs or careers or on paths that were not healthy for our spirit, and we had to overcome that. I have a pastor friend who was not raised Christian. He was raised Jewish, and he used to travel with rock and roll bands and was their sound person for the rock and roll bands. And he discovered, before he was even a Christian, that that was not healthy for his spirit. And he quit that job. And he became a sound man for a church in Lee's Summit. And for some reason, this Jewish man who didn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior kept sitting there looking at the pastor in the front of the church and hearing a voice in his head saying, "You're supposed to be there." And that's what he is today. He's a classmate of mine. We've known each other since licensing school. Sometimes we walk away from a career path that is bad for our spirit. Sometimes we walk away from an entire community that's bad for our spirit. And that can be a community of friends, or it can be an actual place where we live. When we lived in another community, we discovered, John and I enjoyed the community. We liked our home. We liked what we were doing for jobs. But of our four children, all four of them are being bullied terribly in school. We had one who was getting her tires slashed at school. We had one who was getting shoved in lockers at school. We had a six-year-old who was getting beat up on the playground at school and wasn't allowed to check his blood sugar by his teacher. And we had one who was being told that she wasn't even welcome to come into the locker room because the girls didn't like her. And you know what we said? "We're going to break up with this town and move." We made a move because we were in a place that was toxic for our children. Sometimes our communities are what we need to heal from. Sometimes we have to make big reactions and big changes, and other times it's something small. But each and every one of us probably has a story about something we have broken free of. When this scripture was written, there were people breaking free of the laws of the slavery they were being kept in that kept them from worshiping God on their own terms. And you know what? All the things that we have to break free of, we are slaves to those until we're able to get away. We can be a slave to an illness. We can be a slave to a career. We can be a slave to anything. And so the scripture invites us, the one that we read from Deuteronomy today, is a remembrance of what was said originally in Exodus, and yet this one gives us the opportunity to celebrate it. Celebrate your freedom. Celebrate that God breaks you free of bonds. You know, it's God's help that brings us all out of the situations that we need to get away from. And God has given us a recipe for how to live the most successful, best, most flavorful life. We can't always do it exactly to the recipe, but gosh, we sure want to get as close as we can and try. So every seventh day, we're invited to relax and celebrate together. We can't all even celebrate Sabbath on the same day, if we're honest. I don't celebrate Sabbath always on Sunday. You know why? I work on Sunday. Did you know that? Preachers work on Sunday. Monday is my Sabbath, my personal Sabbath. I try to avoid having meetings, although I'm in class right now on Mondays. I try not to have Mondays be busy with other things so it can be the day of rest. But the reality is, because of the world we live in, even like the Israelites, we don't necessarily have a whole day, right? And so sometimes we have to insert the Sabbath into small chunks of each and every day, which is kind of a gift too, if you think about it. Having a little Sabbath on every day. So we apply our recipe the best we can to take a holy rest. And so what I want to do is I want to give you 6 ideas of how to have a holy rest. Because sometimes when somebody says, how are you going to do this? Remember last week when I said, how are you going to teach this? And you have to think, gosh, I'm not sure. How do I want to teach this? If I said, how are you going to celebrate a holy rest? You might be thinking, I'm not sure. How am I supposed to? So I'll give you 6 ideas. Maybe talk about hobbies and skills. Every single person in here has a talent, right? You can tell me no. I won't believe you. Every single person in here has a talent, a hobby, something you are good at. So do that thing that you are good at. I don't care if it's planting flowers or reading a book because you have great comprehension skills. Whatever it is that you do and you enjoy doing, do that on your day off. And while you're doing it, say, Lord, thank you for equipping me to do this. Thank you for my hands that can plant. Thank you for my mind that enjoys reading. Thank you for my labors, thank you for whatever it is, Lord. Thank God for it. The second one is nurture personal relationships. Pick someone and build your relationship. It can be a friend, it can be a family member, it can be a church member, it can be somebody in the nursing home, whatever. Nurture the relationships and thank God for the people that He has put in your life. That is a way to celebrate the Sabbath. The third one is a lot of fun. Schedule on your calendar unscheduled time. Schedule to not have a plan so that you can live in the moment. Be spontaneous. Some days I am busy and I need to be doing a million things and the grandkids come up and they just really want somebody to spend time playing Play-Doh and we play Play-Doh. Schedule unscheduled time and be thankful for the unscheduled time and for the things that you can do in that moment. The fourth thing, look around you at the creation that is tangible. The people, the grass, the trees, the skies, the seas, everything. And thank God for creation and His unfathomable creativity to be able to do it without a picture. I can only paint a picture when I look at one, right? God made it without a slate. And then the fifth one, as you're looking at this creation and thinking about how beautiful it is, contemplate your relationship with God. Contemplate how God created everything to work together. Read your scripture. Do some journaling. I always think of journaling as like, I gotta write this whole story, you know, like the teacher used to have me do in school. But I've discovered that my one Bible that I keep that I have kept since I went into ministry, and I marked the scripture that I'm preaching about every single week. 10 years in, I write a word about why it's applicable today. I write a date. And you know what? When you look back over 9 years ago and you go, wow, I read this scripture at this time of year, and this word was important to me. And you can consider your relationship with God in just that few of words. So journal, read your scripture. And the sixth one is going back to that, inserting a little Sabbath into each day. In case you don't have an entire day, take little chunks of Sabbath and apply it at different times. My friend Trista, she's the pastor at Raymore, uses her Sabbath a little at a time because she doesn't have a full day off. And so she does little chunks of time, and one of her favorite chunks of time to be Sabbath is grocery shopping. Who has ever considered grocery shopping Sabbath? She goes without her kids, all by herself. And as she picks up each item that she's going to put in her cart, she considers that item. Let's pick any item out of the grocery store. The milk, huh? You're going to buy milk when you go to the store. She considers the cow. She considers the creator of the cow. She considers the farmer who raised the cow. She considers the person who gathers the milk. She considers the people who process the milk, the people who bottle the milk, the people who transport it to the store, the people who put it on the shelf, the person who's picking it up, and the people who will consume it. That's a lot of thought about 1 gallon of milk, isn't it? And so as she does her shopping, she contemplates her relationship with God and how God brings so many things together and joins them together for good. Simple gallon of milk. And that's part of her Sabbath. You get it. At work, we can do the same thing. Whatever it is we touch at work, consider all of the people who brought it, all the people who will use it, and the Creator who brought it to us. So we can even do that as we work. We can still consider some Sabbath and take a moment of pause to say, thank you, Lord, for this that my hands are touching. Today, somebody in our nation or several people made a fun day of playing rock, paper, scissors. And it gave us an opportunity to smile. Before that, long before that, at the very beginning of time, God created a day of rest that we could all find a reason to smile and appreciate the relationship that we have with God. So every seventh day of your week, whatever your first day of your week is, to appreciate our wonderful Creator and appreciate that we've been given this gift of rest. And I pray that we would all find joy and peace and in it our holy rest. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this space that we are able to come together and consider all of the wonderful things that you've laid before us. We thank you for the Garden of Eden that you put together and that on that last day you created for us beautiful peace and rest. Lord, we thank you for your Son who reminded us that it's meant to be a joyful and wonderful thing and not a burden that we carry. It's meant to be better than any of those 2,000 silly things that we celebrate. And yet we thank you that we have come up with at least 2,000 reasons to smile. Lord, there are millions more. Lord, we thank you for reminding us that we are your children and that even when it doesn't seem that we're able to play by the rules all the time, that recipe is there for us to live the most beautiful life, the most successful life, and you love us even when we can't, when we do the best we can. And you offer us a day set aside to come and talk to you about it. Lord, may we not forget. May we enjoy it. We love you, Lord, and it is in love for you that we pray. In your name, amen.